as you are able in reverence to Christ's holy word. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 1. O eternal one, you have explored my heart and know exactly who I am. You even know the small details, like when I take a seat and when I stand up. Even when I am far away, you know what I'm thinking. You observe my wandering and my sleeping, my waking and my dreaming. You know everything I do in more detail than even I know. You know what I'm going to say long before I say it. It is true, Eternal One, that you know everything and everyone. For you shaped me inside and out. You knitted me together in my mother's womb long before I took my first breath. I will offer you my grateful heart, for I am your unique creation, filled with wonder and awe. You have approached even the smallest details with excellence. Your works are wonderful. I carry this knowledge deep within my soul. You see all things. Nothing about me was hidden from you as I took shape in secret, carefully crafted in the heart of the earth before I was born from its womb. You see all things. You saw me growing, changing in my mother's womb. Every detail of my life was already written in your book. You established the length of my life before I ever tasted the sweetness of it. Your thoughts and plans are treasures to me, O God. I cherish each and every one of them. How grand in scope, how many in number. If I could count each one of them, they would be more than all the grains of sand on the earth. Their number is inconceivable. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We've been talking about ways that we can become all that we have been ordained to be, so that we can have the best years of our life in front of us. We talked about this last week as all starting here. Before we do anything, it's got to be a vision. It's got to be something that we know in our minds. And so we've been talking about ways to get past those barriers that would keep us from being our best. And the one we talked about last week was getting rid of worry. Turning worry into concern instead of something that acts upon us to become something that we can act upon. Today, we're going to talk about the second biggest thing that is a mental obstacle to us in fulfilling our destinies, and that is we need to be ourselves and let other people be themselves. Most of the strife in our life is caused by us wanting to be something other than what we are. We want to be prettier or smarter or richer or, you know, fill in the blank, more talented. You know, I can't be satisfied because I want to sing like Betty. I can't be satisfied because I want to be able to paint like Jerry. I can't be satisfied because I want I need to be me. And by the same token, I need to let you be you. The other part of that coin, the other side of that coin is, even if I'm happy with me, I'm usually not happy with you. Because you don't think like me. You don't do the things like I would do them. You see a different perspective than I have. And we're taught as little kids that different is wrong. We do teach that to our children. It's largely to keep them from killing themselves. But, you know, we teach our children to fear different. And we grow up fearing different. And so we use ourselves as the measure of all things. You know, if this is the way I think, then by golly, that's how, you know, you ought to think too. Because, you know, I love the Lord. I have your best interest at heart. Therefore, you should be like me. Now imagine what a world full of Susans would be like. I was expecting Ross to be the one to say that, but he fainted. That was overwhelming, wasn't it, Ross? We need to be ourselves. Because in the scripture that we just read, it says that we are loved by God as He created us. He loves us just like we are. Now that doesn't mean there's no room for improvement in our lives and we just ought to keep going just exactly like they are. Because we just sang the song, I Am Redeemed. You know, that in and of itself brings us closer than to perfection. But we need to know that God loves us exactly like we are. That He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know, we try to hide certain things from people. One of the stupidest things about dating is that we try to hide all our bad traits from the person that we're dating. We just want to spring it on them after we're married. Ta-da! But you know, you don't want them to see you at your worst. You know, you always want to put forth that nice facade that, you know, I'm just always so sweet. I'm always so caring. I'm always going to be this romantic. That one's a big lie. I just wish that you all could have seen the look on Robert's face when I said that. We don't have to put on for God. He already knows. He knows everything we have done, everything that we are right this minute, and He knows what's coming. And the beauty of that is we don't have to convince Him to love us. He loves us anyway. So why would we waste our lives wishing to be something other than we are when we have already been created unique? There is in the entire universe no one else exactly like you. And no matter how wonderful you are, that's a good thing. I'm not going to say a word, John. I'm just going to pass that one by. And the other part of this that is so wonderful is not only are you unique, you have a purpose in life that no one else can fulfill. You are so important. You know, we tend to think less of ourselves than we should. Even if we talk greater about ourselves than we should, usually those are the people who feel the least about themselves. We should have a very, very, very healthy self-image. Because we're one of a kind and we're necessary. We're necessary. We're all a part of God's greater plan. And we can choose to be a part of it or not. We've got choice in this. But why would we not want to become the best us as possible instead of saying, I want to be like, you know, I want to be like Peggy. Now, being like Peggy would be good. There's a lot of good, you know, wonderful things about Peggy. I would like to be more like Peggy in some ways. Never mind. He said I'd have to live with John, so we just got rid of that one. But still, think about it. Think about it. We are so wonderful. Let's just embrace the life we have. And the other side of that, with letting others be themselves, understand that they are unique too. It would be absolutely terrible if we were all the same. It really would. Variety is not only the spice of life, it is essential to life. If we were all the same, it's not just that it would be boring. Life actually couldn't happen. It really could not. If we all thought the same, acted the same, had the same personality, not only would it be boring, it would be horrible. Because each of us, with our different perspectives and different gifts and different values, were required to reach our own perfection. Remember, we started this series by saying, you cannot become who you ought to be by yourself. You've got to be with others and let those others fill in your gaps. I have gaps in my life. I've got some chasms in my life. I mean, I've got things that I'm just not good at. I have things that other people find really, really important that I don't find important at all, but that doesn't mean that they're not. It's all of those things that we fill in. Let me go back. Do you see the names under here? I have got a list of names. Even though we're all different, no matter what, from the early Greeks, it has been known that personalities are types. Okay? And one of the best ones that's out there, you'll forgive me if I go back to my behavioral scientist mode, but this one is really the best of the lot in helping people to know who they are. And it's from a guy named Kiersey. He wrote a book called Please Understand Me. And it's about the different kinds of people. They're guardians. We need guardians. Guardians are those people who do all the jobs that that most of us don't want to do. They're the ones that keep everything running. They're the ones that keep us grounded and keep us from flying off into these little orbits. They're the ones that keep things solid. We couldn't exist without them. But what if the world was all them, then there wouldn't be innovation. Because guardians kind of like to keep things the way they are. And they do a lot of thankless jobs to keep that going. And then we've got the idealists. Those people that lead, teach. Those people who see life as a journey and want to go on it and take a bunch of other people and help them find their way on their journey. And yes, I'm an idealist. Every single time I have taken a personality profile, I have come out exactly the same way, folks. Your personality doesn't change. Your behavior changes, that's good. You grow more mature in your thinking, that's good. But your fundamental personality doesn't change. I've been taking these things since the very, very, very early 80s. I have never changed. You won't either. It's who you are. And then we have the artisans. The artisans are the people who, they actually create the excitement for the rest of us. Because they don't want to get down. If it's not fun, let's not do it. Let's explore. Let's have adventures. It's not just artists as in make paintings and who play musical instruments, although they're usually artisans. It's those people that find adventure and joy in life, and they just keep going. But see, the thing is, they don't pay that much attention to detail. That's what the guardians do. And then you have the smallest group of all, and this could almost be guessed, are people who are the rational people. The people who are not as concerned with dealing with people as they are with dealing with the problem. Let's solve the problem. Let's learn. Rationalists want to learn, 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 learn. and they want to solve problems. They want to fix stuff. But they're not going to be in warm and fuzzy while they do it. Now, can you see why we would need all of that going on simultaneously if we were going to have a functioning world? God knew that when he said this. I want to read you something out of Corinthians. Each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence. That gift is given for the good of the whole community. The Spirit gives one person a word of wisdom, but the next person, the same Spirit, gives a word of knowledge. Another will receive the gift of faith by the same Spirit, and still another gifts of healing from one Spirit. One person is enabled by the Spirit to perform miracles, another to prophesy, another is enabled to distinguish those prophetic spirits. Just as a body is one whole made up of many different parts, all the different parts comprise one body. So it is with the anointed. We are all ceremonially washed through baptism together into one body by one Spirit. No matter our heritage, Jew or Greek, insider or outsider, no matter what our status, oppressed or free, we're all given one Spirit to drink. Here is what I mean. The body's not made of one large part, but of many different parts. Would it seem right for a foot to cry, "I'm not a hand, so I couldn't be part of the body"? Even if it did, it wouldn't be any less joined to the body. And what about an ear? If an ear started to whine, "I'm not an eye, I shouldn't be attached to this body," in all its pouting, it'd still be part of the body. Imagine the entire body as an eye, or how would a giant eye be able to hear? And if the entire body were an ear, how would it be able to smell? This is where God comes in. God has meticulously put this body together. He placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function he wanted. If all members were a single part, where would the body be? So now, many members function within one body. The eye cannot wail at the hand, "I have no need for you." Nor could the head bellow at the feet, "I won't go one more step with you." It's actually the opposite. The members who seem to have the weaker functions are necessary to keep the body moving. The body parts that seem less important, we treat as some of the most valuable. And those unfit, untamed, unpresentable members, we treat with even greater modesty. That's something that's more presentable members don't need. But God designed the body in such a way that the greater significance is given to the seemingly insignificant part. That way, there should be no division in the body. Instead, all the parts mutually depend on and care for one another. We need each other. And if you are not being who God created you to be, then you're not fulfilling your role. If you force others into being something that they are not, you're not allowing them to fill their role. And we have all this stress in our lives because we can't get other people to be what we want them to be. Let them be who they are and who God created. And if there's any behavioral change that's needed, let God handle that. I'll tell you what, once you achieve perfection, I give you permission to work on somebody else. Until then, work on you. Being the best you that you can be. I wrote this down so that you could have it. If you are interested, you can go to this website. It's free. And you can fill out and they will give you a personality profile. And you can read about yourself and you can read about other people. And it helps you to understand and work with people if you get where they're coming from. So we come back to the question, what are you thinking? What do you think about yourself? Let's just sit here for just one second and just be honest. Do you like you? I mean, do you really like you? Do you celebrate who you are? Are you pleased that God made you like you are? Or do you think that, you know, you'd like to give God a little bit of instruction? You know, God, you could have done a little better in this area. God, why am I not like? Why don't I have? Or do you just celebrate who you are? It took me years to figure this out, folks. If I can save you years of figuring it out, if you'll just hear what I'm telling you, it will save you maybe decades of anxiety about not being somebody else. I wasted decades trying to be who I'm not. It was completely a failure because I am who I am, and I've been this way since I was a zygote. But I fought against it. I wanted to be somebody else. Now I'm just happy to be me. And I celebrate me. I'm pretty great. Amen. It does not mean I don't have lots of room to improve. I know that. By all means, Betty, say one thing.
I wish that I had known what I know now back then, but I really think this is a wonderful message to give to people who are just going into real adulthood, 30s and 40s, because don't waste all those years. You've got, when you get older, you finally see it.
Yeah.
You see where you're supposed to be, and you're there, and you just want to enjoy the rest of it.
Right.
You know, it's possible to have it, more of it.
Yeah.
Listen.
Celebrate yourself now. Please, please, please don't wait as long as I did. Because, folks, I look out over this congregation, and yes, we are all different. You know, we all have those little quirks. And we all have those little things. And we all have those little wonderful things that people cherish and those little things about you that annoy other people. But I celebrate you. And I don't want to change you. I want you to become who God called you to be. That is my mission that God gave me, to help you become that. So, give yourself a hand. And say, thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.